Thank you, Brother Ron Wilder, for leading us beautifully in worship. Good to see such a big crowd here today, worshiping together in spirit and in truth. I remember now, reflecting back, as a young man in junior high school, living in Columbus, Georgia, and going out in the woods and building a fort. We had some old wood and some nails, and we were going to build us ourselves a little fort back in the woods. And I wasn't paying too much attention to where I was stepping. And as I was backing up, there was a board with a nail sticking up. And as I went back, just in time to realize something's poking in my foot, and I stepped back, and that nail went deep into my heel. And my body went into this extreme reaction. I want you to know that in about 1 second, 105 things happened, and it involved the rest of my body coming to the rescue. You see, when I stepped on that nail, suddenly the rest of my body got involved in this crisis, and the left leg said, "I volunteer, I'll take all the weight off of your right leg so that you don't have to endure any more pain." And then my arms and muscles got involved. I began to reach down to this nail, and my knee began to help out. Even though it wasn't the one with a nail in it, it began to curl my leg up so I could pull this nail out of my foot. My eyes got involved. My eyes were looking, and my entire body was involved in rescuing this one small area of my body that was being tormented by this nail. And this is actually a picture of how our body works together for the common good of its own interest. And it's a picture of what Paul wants to discuss with us today as he describes the wonderful, spiritually gifted body of Christ. He wants to talk to us today about spiritual gifts. And as we continue our study in 1 Corinthians, we are in chapter 12. Now, as you think about spiritual gifts, let me ask you, what are spiritual gifts? Who has spiritual gifts? How do we get these spiritual gifts? Do we go to a store? Do we ask and pray for them? And do we get to choose which gifts we have? And what in the world are these spiritual gifts for? Why do we have them in the first place? And so today, as we look through 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to get the answers to these questions and more. Now, books have been written about this particular chapter as they define what all these different spiritual gifts mean, and some of the more questionable or miraculous gifts. Well, to some of your disappointment, I'm not going to define all the gifts today or engage in some of those other areas, but I want you to grab hold of four very essential truths that Paul wants to teach us about spiritual gifts. Notice in verse 1, as we get started, some very important things. Paul says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts." So, what do you think he's going to talk about? Spiritual gifts. He says up front, "Now concerning spiritual gifts." Don't you love somebody who's straightforward and you don't have to wonder, what in the world is he talking about? Secondly, I want you to notice that he says, "Brethren." He is speaking to believers, those who would have spiritual gifts. "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren," or brothers in Christ, sisters in Christ. And then he says, "Concerning spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant or without knowledge." This is a very important subject. There are certain abuses taking place and misunderstandings taking place concerning spiritual gifts. And let me go ahead and clarify what they are, who gets them, why we have them, what they're for. And so he spells that out in the first verse. Now, about people being unaware of spiritual gifts, let's see if we can clear the air. First of all, let's define spiritual gifts. I'll give you a simple definition, and that is, spiritual gifts are divine or God-given enablements that God gives His people, that believers have. If you're saved, you have a spiritual gift, and it's been given to you in order that you might edify or build up and accomplish the work of the church, that is the body of Christ, to the glory of God. There are at least 21 gifts mentioned in the New Testament, and we can find those gifts listed here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 11, 1 Peter 4, 9 through 11, and Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8 are passages of Scripture that refer to spiritual gifts. Now, in Paul's time, there were those who were without knowledge or they were ignorant of these things. But you know what? That is still true today. Let me prove that. In a recent survey, we find out these truths about spiritual gifts. Survey was taken among believers, followers of Jesus Christ, asking about spiritual gifts. And check out these three results. 85% of the believers surveyed said that they had heard of spiritual gifts. Well, my prayer is that anybody who is asked from Richland Creek would say, I've heard of spiritual gifts, because that's what we're talking about today. So hopefully that's 100% of Richland Creekers. Now, 50% said they did not know what their spiritual gift was, or said they did not have one. Folks, if God says He gives you a spiritual gift, at least one, guess what? You've got it! All right? Now, can you imagine if 50% of the workforce, if you will, doesn't understand their assignment or what they're supposed to do? You have a very weak and anemic body. More on that to come. 25% said that spiritual gifts were not even found in the Bible. Okay, it's time for God's people to wake up and read the Bible and understand God's intention and plan for your life. If you don't understand what God's created you for and created you to do and the assignment He's given you, there's a good chance you could be discouraged and depressed and questioning all types of things. Get into the game is what Paul's going to challenge us with today. Now, in verse 2, as he continues on, he says, you know that you were Gentiles, that you were unbelievers once, carried away to these dumb idols, these speechless idols, however you were led before you came to know Christ. And I want to make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed or anathema. All right? If the Lord is with you, you certainly, if the Lord was controlling you, you couldn't make that statement that Jesus is accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except that the Holy Spirit has revealed that to that person, and that that person is under the control of the Holy Spirit in understanding and communicating those truths. Now to the heart of the matter that Paul wants to teach us about today concerning spiritual gifts. Now, there are four truths, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you up front what they are, what we're going to look at in the rest of this chapter. You can see it up on the screen. Spiritual gifts, we'll see in verse 4, spiritual gifts vary or differ within the body. There are different spiritual gifts. Secondly, spiritual gifts are given to each, every member of the body. And in verse 7, we'll see that spiritual gifts are given for the profit or the common good of the body. And fourth, we'll see that spiritual gifts are given by the Holy Spirit. He is the one who determines who gets what. So let's look at verse 4. Now, there are diversities of gifts or varieties of gifts, some of your translations say, but the same Spirit. There's only one Holy Spirit. There are differences of ministries, to be sure, but there is only one Lord. And there are diversities or various activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. And some people could see the Trinity, even in those verses, as it talks about the Holy Spirit, as it talks about the Lord, as it talks about God, referring to the Father. And so the Trinity is involved. The Godhead is involved in the body of Christ and empowering and enabling, equipping the body of Christ with these spiritual gifts. But he says in verse 4 there in the beginning, there are diversities of gifts. In other words, there are different gifts that people have. Paul also spoke about this in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, and I'm going to read it for you. He says, we have different gifts according to the grace of God given us. Now, if a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If a man's gift or a person's gift is in serving, let him serve. If it is in teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing or giving to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him lead diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. He's just pointing out that there are a variety of gifts, and if this is your gift, embrace it and do it to the full extent that you have. Now, I look around this room today, and I realize that I see some who are very gifted at teaching, some who are very generous in their giving, some who have the gift of mercy and who are very concerned about the well-being of others, more even so than others. Now, some have the gift of encouragement. Some have the gift of leadership. And we see all of these gifts working together in the one body. So there are a variety of gifts. Notice that Paul gives us a built-in illustration in verse 14 through verse 20. And look at verse 14 in the same chapter. Paul's going to use this analogy of the body to help us to understand what in the world are you talking about. He wants you to see how your body works together, not against itself, but your body, and he's showing that forth as an example of how the body of Christ works. Notice in his analogy here, he says, for in fact the body is not one member, but many. In other words, as I look out at you, I don't see just one big ear. You're not just an ear, and you're not just an arm. In fact, by everything that I can see, you're comprised of many parts. I see eyes and noses and ears and mouth, and even some of you have a brain, I see. And some of you have arms and legs and all that kind of stuff. So here he's getting at that very point. Verse 15, he continues, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Of course it's part of the body. It's just different. And many of you serve in different capacities because you've been gifted differently. Some of you have a heart to teach, and you've been gifted at teach. You understand the Word of God and have a way of communicating that so that others can learn and understand these great truths of God. But some of you, like my wife, would never want to stand in front of a group of people. The thought of standing in front of others and talking absolutely terrifies her and some of you. But put her in a situation where hospitality is involved and she thrives. I couldn't organize a kitchen or make others feel as welcomed as I ought to, not nearly to the way that she does. That's her giftedness. And so she thrives in her area of giftedness. And so that's what Paul's emphasizing. We have different gifts, but we're all still one body. Verse 16, and if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? Of course it is. It's just different. Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? In other words, we wouldn't have it if all we were was just one part. We need all these different parts. If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. All the different parts have been assembled there. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But the truth of the matter is, we have a variety of members. We have a variety of spiritual gifts. Now, the second truth, if we go back to verse 7, is not only are there varieties of gifts, just like varieties of parts of a body. But secondly, the second truth I want you to see is that spiritual gifts are given to every member of the body. Notice the first part of verse 7. It says, but the manifestation or the demonstration, the visible, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. Some of your translations say everyone. God has given every person a spiritual gift, at least one. You say, hey, I didn't know that. Well, the Apostle Peter reiterates this in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10 when Peter says, as each one has received a special gift. Now listen to what Peter's saying. Just as each one has received a special gift, employ it or use it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. In other words, he didn't give you a spiritual gift so that it would lie dormant. Can you imagine if you had these funny little things hanging off the side of your head and they served absolutely no purpose? They didn't hear at all. They didn't function. Well, that's not how it's supposed to be. They're actually supposed to serve some type of purpose there. And if you look at verse 21 through 23, Paul kind of talks about how that works, how the spiritual gifts are given to everybody. The eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Every part has a purpose. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Some of you might be in here today saying, well, I'm too old, or I'm too young, or I'm just not gifted like so-and-so. Don't believe that lie. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been given, every one of you, a spiritual gift, and it has value as you contribute to the body of Christ. It may not be an eye, it may not be a nose or a mouth, a more prominent feature, but it still has value. I would not be able to stand up here and speak with you all this morning if I didn't have kidneys. You see, there are internal parts, those that maybe have less honor in terms of their visibility, but are still extremely important. In fact, if we didn't have kidneys here at the church, those people who have been gifted in serving, who absolutely love to work behind the scenes, we would be in big trouble. Let me give you an example. How many of you enjoy sitting in those chairs that you're sitting in today? As opposed to the floor, I'm very grateful. Come by the church last night and you realize that there are gentlemen who have this gift of serving, this gift of helps, and they come in here and transform these basketball courts that the kids run up and down all day on Saturday, and they turn it into a place now that we can gather and sit together. Praise the Lord for those who serve so wonderfully in making this body work together. Praise the Lord for all the servants who are serving in the children's ministry, in the student ministry, in the upward ministry, and those who serve up in the sound booth, so that all of this is able to come together to the glory of God. Everybody's been given a spiritual gift, and everybody is necessary. Everybody is needed. He goes on to say in verse 23, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, even those that are clothed, perhaps even the sexual parts of a body. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. He has given because everybody is to participate. Now, if everybody has a spiritual gift, but not everybody understands that, then imagine what this body, let's use Paul's analogy, might begin to look like. You say, Pastor, I've been a believer for 40 years and I've never discovered my spiritual gift. All right, let's not let Satan tear you up about the past. You can remind him about his future, but let's get going the right direction starting today. How can you discover what your spiritual gift is? Hopefully, as you're hearing these words from Scripture today, you're provoked in your thinking and going, hey, if I've got a spiritual gift, I would like to know what it is, because God gave it to me and now I understand He's expecting me to use it in the service of His body, the church. What are three ways? Let me give you three ways that you can help to maybe identify what your spiritual gift is. And none of these are necessarily rocket science, but three ways that you might be able to discern what your spiritual gifts are. Number one, there are what we call spiritual gift surveys or inventories. And while they are not infallible by any means, what their goal is to ask you some questions and get a response from you that you might be able to discern and determine what your spiritual gifts are. And they may give you some indication as to what your spiritual gifts are. We know for certain that you have them. We're just trying to help find out what they are. Secondly, listen to close friends who walk with the Lord, who have spiritual discernment, who may be able to come alongside you and say, you know what? I can just see this in you. You've got a certain ability to communicate the truths of the Word, maybe a gift of teaching. I know some who they say, Pastor, anytime you need anything, please let me know. I'm available and I like to do this. And you can tell they have this gift of service where they like to be involved, kind of like the kidneys. They'll say, Pastor, I don't want to teach. Pastor, I don't want to do any of that, but if you can let me take the trash out, boy, that would be wonderful. Some people have those desires to do that. And so other believers may be able to come alongside you and affirm that which they see God working in your life, whether it's encouragement or teaching or serving or leading or giving, whatever it may be. A third way is just as you pray and as you do an inventory on yourself, what are the natural desires that you have? You seem to be drawn when you see people needing help. You just kind of walk over toward them and you start moving things around and you start helping with the chores of the church, so to speak. We saw that in the book of Acts, as they had a heart to serve and to come alongside other people in the table waiting of the Hellenistic people in Acts chapter 6. And that's how they found deacons, those who were table waiters, servants that now serve in the church. And so there are varieties of gifts, and everybody has a spiritual gift. And if you are here today and you don't know what your gifts are, let me encourage you to follow one of those three suggestions that I gave you and resolve in your heart today to say, Pastor, I want to get in the game. I want to find out how God has equipped me, and I want to get in the game. Now, why in the world, let's ask a deeper question. Why has God given spiritual gifts to all of His people? Why has He done that? Well, back to the analogy of the body and also back to verse 7. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all, or for the well-being and for the common good. Some of your translations say, for the common good of all. In other words, I need you. We need each other. We are all in this together. College football coach was making the parallel to a football game in the church, and he noticed a big difference. He says, here we have about 40,000 people gathered to watch 22 men pouring it all out on the field. They're doing all the work and they're doing all the watching. The church is not supposed to be that way. Everybody has a role to play. Everybody has an assignment. I need you. You need me. We are all in this together. Now imagine in Paul's analogy of the body, if the body worked like the way sometimes the church works, and 50% of the members of the church were AWOL. They were not understanding their spiritual gift and therefore not using it. Can you imagine if my body up here today was simply symbolic of what was taking place in the church across America? Dragging this leg, and this arm's not working, and this eye's shut, and I just barely functional body. How would you like it if that was your body, just barely functional, maybe 20% functional? Well, if recent surveys are true and 80% of folks in the church are not actively involved in serving and employing their spiritual gift, imagine if only 20% of your body worked. Now, God wants us to understand these very important truths, how important they are. Let's read what Paul has to say about how this profits everyone, for everyone to be involved in this, in verses 24 through 27, as he continues with these built-in illustrations of the body. And he says in verse 24, second sentence, "But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no division in the body, should all work together, not divisively against itself, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer." Go back to that analogy that I started with of when I stepped on the nail. Now, the rest of my body didn't say, "Hey, right heel, tough luck, you stepped on a nail." In fact, the rest of my body got involved and said, "Hey, we are all in this together, and I better look out for you, because next week I'm going to need you. In fact, tonight I'm going to need you as you walk to the refrigerator to feed your body," or whatever it is that you do. We all need all of the parts of the body, is what he's getting at. And it says, if one member suffers, all the members suffer. Now, do you look around the room today? And as you pass people in the hall, as the church, the people of God have assembled, do you see how this is the wonderfully, spiritually gifted body of Christ? And when you walk by that brother, you say, "I need him. I'm so grateful for her. I need her. I don't even know what her spiritual gift is, but I know she's part of this body that I am knit together in." God has knit together his church, this wonderful body of believers, and he's given us different spiritual gifts that we would contribute to one another for our own well-being and for the glory of God, that we might edify and build each other up. Here we are. Now, if you're part of this body of believers and you're AWOL, you're hurting me. You're hurting each other. It's time for you to get into the game. We need you. We want to come alongside and help you to be a part of what God is doing in his body here. Everybody has been gifted with a spiritual gift. There are a lot of different spiritual gifts, and they are given for the common good, for the profit of all. Now, back in verse 26, it says, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Yesterday, I was watching my daughter Grace, her 8-year-old upward basketball team, and as they were playing basketball, let me point out two observations. Praise the Lord for a very special referee, Miss Carol Wright. She's not as young as I am. She's a little bit older. I don't know how old, but her husband's 104. I'm just kidding you, Brother Ronnie. That's not true at all. And she's running up and down the court, refereeing the game. She's outrunning these young second graders all up and down the court. And she loves to contribute and pour her life into these children. She's part of what makes Upward work. And folks from the community now get to come and hear the gospel. And as she ministers through her words and through her actions, don't you see how the body of Christ works so wonderfully? There's so many ways that you can be involved if you'll just find out your gift and get plugged in. But also, I noticed yesterday on my daughter's team, when anyone on her team scored a basket, the rest of the girls on the team went, "Yes!" They were all excited. None of them were selfish or saying, "Oh, I should have scored the basket." I know some of might have the tendency to do that. But on their team, everybody got the big picture. When they scored a basket, they were all participating in the victory and rejoicing in that. And so when one member is honored, all the members rejoice alongside, because we are one body. Now, you are the body of Christ. You know that? Members together. So when we go back in the kitchen and it's a busy night, you're going to run somebody off and say, "Hey, this is my kitchen." Or are you going to say, "Hey, I don't know you. Let me introduce myself to you. I'm so glad you're here. Did you know we're part of the same body? And you're serving in a very similar capacity that I have a heart for. I praise the Lord for you." And you can encourage how all that works together. Now, we all need this. We're all in this together. It's for the profit of all. I'm so blessed when Pastor Ken and the choir and the praise team gets up here and leads us in worship. But folks, you don't want me up there. I promise you. If you've ever heard me sing, you know what I'm talking about. And I'm grateful. I look back there and I see Brother Pat. Pat plays on the drums. Praise the Lord. I can't do it. But I am a beneficiary of his gift. Spiritual gifts are given for the common good of the body. Each one has been given a gift, and there are varieties of gifts. But let me go back to our text and pick it up in verse 11. Yes, I did skip over verses 8 through 10. The description of these spiritual gifts, you can find them on the website. I'm not going to define them for you today, nor am I going to get into the conversation about the miraculous gifts, which I believe were temporarily given to authenticate the gospel, and they were given to authenticate the apostles that lived. I'll get into that a little bit more, including speaking in tongues. We talk about that for 2 weeks, starting in 2 weeks. In chapter 14, as we talk about speaking in tongues, what does the Bible have to say? But for our purposes here today, number 4, spiritual gifts are given by the Holy Spirit. You say, "Wait a second, I don't want to be the foot, I want to be the hand." Well, you have no choice. In fact, the Holy Spirit, according to the counsel of His will, has placed each part of the body together as He has seen fit. Look at verse 18. "But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased." And now in verse 11, "The one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills." So there is no room for selfishness. There is no room for envy. You can't say, "Hey, I want to be the one that's up there singing. I want to be the one who has this gift." No, but simply a joyful response where we say, "Praise the Lord that I'm in the body of Christ. Praise the Lord that I have a spiritual gift. I'm going to find out what it is. And I am going to report for duty like a good soldier in God's army and say, 'Yes, sir, God, you have assigned me and gifted me to do this responsibility, and I will do it with all of my heart as you have commanded and gifted me.'" And that's our response. There's no room for envy and jealousy and selfishness, but rather an understanding of our God-given assignment and a heart to get to work in building the body of Christ. Now that we see these four truths that the Bible teaches, let me ask you two practical questions today. Do you know what your spiritual gifts are? Or what your spiritual gift is? Maybe you have one, maybe you have more. Secondly, do you know an area of ministry in which to plug your spiritual gift into? Well, if you don't, I don't want you to feel beat up by Satan, nor do I want you to feel beat up by me, but rather a healthy conviction to say, "You know what, Pastor? I'm going to get in the game. I'm going to resolve today to be involved in God's church, the body of Christ, serving how he has gifted me to serve. Now, in your bulletin today, you see these service opportunities. This is not an exhaustive list. It's a help get you started and let you know where there are some opportunities to serve here at Richland Creek. And you could look at it and say, hey, I have a heart to teach. I have a heart to teach and come alongside young people. I have a heart to serve behind the scenes in cleaning or in serving in the kitchen for these fellowship meals, whatever it may be. You look through here and you pray it over, and I want you to catch up with me or Pastor John or Pastor Dave or Pastor Wade, Pastor Steve, one of our elders. Come alongside a trusted friend who walks with the Lord and say, help me with my spiritual gift, and would you help me get plugged in? Perhaps a Sunday school teacher here, somebody that's involved here at Richland Creek. Do that. Plug into your place in the body and put your gifts to work in the service of his church. I want to close with this quote, which I ascribe to by George Barna. And he's wanting us to think in terms of the power, in terms of the potential that the body of Christ has. He says this, imagine what might happen if nearly half of all believers had a clear and firm conviction that God had given them a supernatural ability to serve him in a specific manner. Because in fact, he has. If more believers understood the nature and potential of that special empowerment, the global impact of the Christian body would be multiplied substantially. One of the functions of the local church is to help believers understand who they are in Christ and how to live the Christian life more fully. Focusing on spiritual gifts, what they are, whose they are, how to discover one's giftedness, and how to use gifts most appropriately, this could ignite a movement of service and power and influence unlike anything we have experienced during our lifetime. Folks, if we were somehow able to supernaturally measure the contribution of each one of you here today in saying, this person is given 100% of their assignment, their spiritual gift to advancing the kingdom of God, building up the church. Person over there is not involved in the game. This person over here is only part-time. And imagine if we were able to somehow measure that in terms of our ability, our power, our effectiveness to be the church, the disciple-making, gospel-sharing machine, body that he has called us to be. Are we anemic or are we powerful? It's going to be up to you getting alone with God and saying, God, how have you gifted me? How can I serve you wholeheartedly for the profit of all that you might be glorified? Would you resolve in your heart to do that today, to be involved in the game? It's not a game. Eternity is at stake for so many people. And you have the opportunity to glorify God by partnering with him in using your spiritual gift. I need you. Bless each other. And God allows you to partner with him in this. Let us pray. Father, we are grateful. Lord, we acknowledge that you are in control, and Lord, the kingdom advancing does not depend on us. Lord, you do not need our help. You are not weak, but you are strong. But Lord, that you have gifted your people and given us a unique privilege and an opportunity to come alongside and to serve wholeheartedly, to advance the kingdom of God, to be a blessing to others, to be a blessing to you. Father, I pray that we would understand our responsibility and our assignment, and with joy, we would plug in to the body of Christ. Father, thank you for these here today that serve so diligently and faithfully, using their spiritual gifts to edify and to build up the church, to advance the kingdom of God to your glory. Father, give us wisdom and understanding about these words from your text today. Give us courage to apply them to our lives, that we might be found faithful in serving you. Father, I pray for your blessing on this message to our hearts today. And now in this time of invitation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.